Praise the Lord, saints. We're going to go into a word of prayer, and then we're going to get on into the lesson that he has given me to give unto his people. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord God, I thank you for just you being you, Lord God. I thank you for you loving us, Lord God, despite ourselves, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in the service from the beginning to the end, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to bless this word, Lord God. I ask you to give this word out how you gave it unto me. Lord God, I ask you to hide me behind your cross, Lord God, that they don't see me, but they see you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Give honor to our Pastor Sonia in her absence. Praise God for her allowing me to stand here to do Sunday school. We're going to talk about the ransom Jesus paid. The ransom Jesus paid. He took me to some definitions of what ransom is. A couple of them are a sum of money or other payment, a demand or paid for the release of a prisoner, and a consideration paid or demand for a release of someone or something from captivity. So let's talk about the ransom. Our ransom, our Lord Jesus Christ paid. This ransom was like no other ransom. This ransom that Jesus did, it was voluntary. To lay down his life for us, for you and for me. Think about that. He is the only king that ever chose to bleed. So many other kings and kingdoms were in the Bible, but he was the only one that chose to get the beating. He chose to bleed. He chose to go through this because at any time he could have called down a legion of angels to where they would just take him up out of his problems. They would just take him up out of any anguish, take him up out of any pain that he was going through. Anytime that he wanted to, all he had to do was just call him down. When God saw, I'm talking about the Father now, when God saw that man was going to continually mess up, and the only way we could completely be redeemed back to the Father was through his sinless Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 real quick. And it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and new life began. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciliation to his people. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. See, that just goes back to prove my point. The only person that could redeem us back to our Father was through the Son, Jesus Christ. So, and then he told me this, 1 Timothy 2:5-6. I got it through two different versions of the Bible because it was just so awesome. Verse 5, and it's coming out of the NLT. There is one God, one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Then I went to the Amplified version of the same chapter, 1 Timothy 2:5-6, and 2 says, for there is, again, one God and only one mediator between God and man, and the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, this is what I loved. It said, who gave himself as a ransom, a substitutionary sacrifice to atone for all of the testimonies given at the right and proper time. Meaning it was going to be a time that Jesus was going to be sent down to atone for our sins. Meaning he was going to have to give up his life freely for us to be able to be reconciled back to the Father at that appointed time. In Mark 10 and 45 in the Amplified, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Then I brought it back out, the Message. I love this part because he said, "He came to serve and not to be served, and then to give away his life, exchange for many who are held hostage." Don't you know we've been held hostage until Jesus Christ came? We were in bondage. We were being held hostage. We were being held in captivity because we had nobody to come and get us back to our original place, which was in the Father. So we had to wait from Malachi to the New Testament. It was over 400 years before Jesus came to fruition. You know, in the Old Testament, he was concealed. He was always there. But in the New Testament, he is revealed for our sake. And praise God he is, because without him being revealed, we could not get back to the Father, which we need to go to every day of our lives. You know, those prayers that we're praying unto God, they hit the throne room. Because why? You have that relationship with him because he engrafted you. He brought you back unto his own, meaning I'm back with my Father. I'm back with my first love. I'm back with where I'm supposed to be within him. Our Savior Jesus, who had paid all of the, who had power in his hand, in the earth and in heaven, you know, he had all that power even when he came down here. But Jesus was so awesome. He humbled himself as a lowly servant man. He set aside his glory. He set aside his honor. He set aside his majesty just so we could receive life and he could give us life and that life to be more in abundance. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have the abundance of life. We're supposed to have the abundance of Christ every day of our life. And you know, sometimes we go through this and we go through that. And sometimes the things that we've done ourselves, and sometimes it may be tested. Sometimes it's the enemy. But God said, "I have come that you will have life and life more abundantly." And I'm an interactive teacher, preacher. So anytime you want to interject, more than welcome. God bless you. Now, our Savior, now this is why our Savior why should we not humble ourselves to our Savior? Why do we have a problem humbling ourselves unto the Lord? Meaning our wants, our likes, our desires, our talk, our walk, our very being. We're supposed to be subject unto him. We're supposed to pull ourselves aside and put on Christ every day of our lives. We're supposed to be able to humble ourselves because, why? We're supposed to be Christ-like. So if we're supposed to be Christ-like, then I have to pull off this old man every morning when I wake up and put on righteousness. I have to put on his deity. I have to put on his likeness. I have to put on his voice. I have to put on his eyesight. I have to put on the helmet. I have to put on the belt. I have to put on the shoes. I have to put on everything in order to be like Christ, in order to walk this walk that he wants each and every one of us to walk. Why do we think that we are such an entitled being? We think that we are so entitled. No, baby, you're entitled because of the cross. You're entitled because of the precious blood that was shed for me, was shed for you. That's why you're entitled. You're not entitled because mommy and daddy may have a few bucks. You're not entitled because of that. Maybe you're smart. You're not entitled because of the car you drive. No, you're entitled because of Calvary. That's why you're entitled. Too many people get tied up in their belongings. Too many people get tied up in what they have and what they want and what they don't want to give God and what they want. You know, no. You have to be engrafted. You have to be taken up into the arms of the Lord. You have to be in with him. You know, that's that, and that's entitlement. I want to be entitled with God, not out here in the world, because the world is going to slip away. And only what you do for Christ is going to last. It's only going to last. So, you know, and I talk about entitlement. And I was a kid. I was about 60, 17. You know, I grew up with my grandparents right on a farm in Berea. And I was 16. I was like, I want a car. My brothers had a car. You know, not knowing that they had a job, they would work. I just never knew what they did. But they always had a vehicle. So I wanted a car. And I asked my mama, I said, Mama, will you give me a car? She said, no. I said, no. What do you mean I can't have a car? She said, no, I didn't have one coming up. So I'm not going to give you something. You're going to have to earn it. If you want a car, you're going to have to go out there, get you a job, get you your own money, and be able to take care of the car once you get it. What I did not understand at that time is she was trying to get me to engulf in entitlement, meaning, okay, this is mine. I work for this. I appreciate this. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. God wants us to do. When we take on him, when we say, Lord Jesus, I have, forgive me for my sins. Lord God, I want to be saved. I want you to be the lordship of my life. Okay, so I am being entitled into him. I'm being engrafted into him. Okay, so therefore, if I'm being engrafted into him, and I'm taking on his personality, taking on his traits, then that means, I got him. And that means that I don't have to worry. I can appreciate what he does for me. I don't have to be in a mind state of, No, because once you are entitled with Jesus Christ, once you have that lordship really upon your life, you can ask him for whatever you want and he will give it unto you. But you first got to have that relationship with him. And that's what my mom was saying. She was telling me, hey, get a worth ethic. Get a worth ethic. Go out, make your own, because that way can't nobody take it from you. Okay, get a relationship with Christ Jesus, because can't nobody take it from you but yourself. It's you that gets separated from Christ Jesus. That's when you think you're so entitled to where you forget about who gave you the entitlement in the first place. So therefore, you just have to look back, and you got to go back to, I love it when Paul told Timothy, go back and get my staff. Go back and get my staff. The staff is where they wrote back their victories upon the different wars and different things that they overcame. Sometimes we got to go back and pick up that staff in order to realize where you come from and where you belong and where you're trying to get to in life through Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 1 and 18 through 20, it says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you had inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses its value. Verse 19, it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose himself as your ransom long before the world ever began. But now, in these days, in the last days, rather, this is why Christ is revealed for your sake. In verse 20, it says, in verse 20, we go back and he talks about, we realize that God the Father had been having a conversation with his son, Jesus, about mankind and what would happen to them. Let's go back to verse 1, chapter Genesis 1 and 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to the likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. See, that's what I'm talking about. You didn't see. He didn't say Jesus would. He didn't say Jesus' name. But he said, let us make mankind in our image. Meaning that was plural. Meaning that he had somebody with him. Jesus didn't have no God didn't have no make-believe friend. It wasn't somebody sitting over here saying, oh, let's go make some man. Let's go make some stuff. No, he was talking to his son, but he had to keep him revealed. He had to keep him concealed in the Old Testament so people would understand who the Father was, who God was. God was the head of everything. God was over everything. God was over the sea. God was over the land. God was the one who spoke everything into existence. But yet and still, the Son was right there with him. Right there with him. In Daniel 3:25, I love this part. It says, Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace and said, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the Father is like a son of God. Now, only God could have given him that a revelation. You know, only God could have gave him that revelation. But what it says is Jesus was in the fire in the Old Testament with the three Hebrew boys. Who do y'all think he was walking around praising God with? He was praising God with Jesus in the fire, praising him in the fire. You know, that's how they came out with no smoke on them. That's how they came out with not burned up. That's how they came out saying, before they went in the fire, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, if you send me in there, fine. My God will take care of me. My God will deliver us, whether we live or whether we don't. And the thing about this is, Jesus was in the fire with them. He was the fourth man in the fire. He was the one walking with them. He was the one taking care of them. So even in the Old Testament, Jesus was already making a ransom for them, and he was concealed. That was awesome. I thought that was awesome. When I was reading, I said, Lord, you was already putting your life down for a ransom for people who don't even see you, for people who don't even appreciate you, for people who don't even, you know, he was already there. He was already there making a way out of no way. No way. But now we get into the New Testament. And this is where Jesus is revealed as the only one who could pay our ransom in full. And it allows us a way back to the Father. Let's go to John 14:1-7. And it reads, so it's very familiar scripture. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. And trust also in me. Who's speaking there? No, who's speaking there? That's Jesus. Jesus is speaking. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. For if it were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to go where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? This is what I love. In verse 6, it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's telling them, I'm the only way you're going to get to the Father. I'm the only way you're going to be able to talk to the Father. I'm the only way that you're going to be able to walk this life before the Father. You had to come to me. You had to come through me. I'm making the pathway for you. What you got to do is accept who I am and whose I am, because it goes back on into the text. It's like they didn't even realize who they was walking with for all these years. You know, for 33 and a half years, they walked with him, but they still half the time did not know who they was walking with. They did not realize that they was walking with the resurrecting God. They did not realize that they was walking with the great I am. They did not realize that they was walking with the person that was going to take them out and put them on, you know, take them out of their bondage, take them out of anything and everything that was holding them down. They didn't understand. You know, that's just like when Jesus told them, he basically, after feeding the 5,000, you know, he was a little perturbed at them because they did not understand who they was with. They did not understand that, okay, he 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, he blessed it, he prayed, and then over 5,000 plus more people were fed, because women and children, we wasn't a part of the census, you know, we wasn't counted at that time. So but anyway, we praise God for that. But the simple fact is, Jesus was like, do you still not know? Did you still not see the miracle? Did you not see I just had 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread? He said, get on into the boat. Go on. Because you know what? You still don't trust me. You still don't believe me. You still don't know that I'm going to make a way out of nowhere. You still don't understand that what I say is yes and amen. You still don't understand that I am everything that you need. I am the person that will do anything you need me to do for your life. When I told you to throw the nets over to the right, you're going to grade up a great harvest. And Peter was like, we're professional fishermen. There's no fish. There's nothing. We've been out here for all day. There's nothing for us to catch. And Jesus said, throw stuff over there. Sometimes Jesus is just telling us, throw your stuff over there. You don't need it. All you need is me. Throw your stuff over there. I will give you everything you need if you just give me you. Sometimes God just saying, throw your stuff over there. Throw your bad attitude over there. Throw your nastiness over there. Throw your smart aleckness over there. Throw your doubt over there. Throw your unbelief over there. And trust me, won't I make a way in the wilderness just like I did for the Israel? I gave them fire by night. I gave them clouds. And, you know, I made sure that the sandals never bore out. I made sure that they never wore tattered clothes. I made sure everything was right for them. So what do you not think that I won't do in this day and age for my people? What do you not think that God will not make a way for you, whatever your situation may be today? God is saying, don't you know that I am still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that I have ever said? I can do it. All you got to do, you trust me. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? God's saying, my promises. He said, you know, and it's so awesome. God said, you know, I can't even vow onto nobody but myself. I make a vow on myself. I place it on me. Because why? I know I'm not going to disappoint myself. I know I'm going to live up to the vow. Because in Ecclesiastes it says, it's better to not make a vow unto the Lord and make a vow and not keep it. So whatever you say, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why? He is listening. He is hearing. He watches you. He sees you. He knows what exactly is in the depths of your heart. He knows what you really want to do. He knows what you really want to say, because nothing is out of the eyesight of God. Nothing is out to where he cannot reach you. Nothing that you can do, nothing that you can say that he cannot hear you. Trust him. Trust him. And that's what he wants you to know. He wants you to know that I came for a ransom. When I laid my life down, I had you in mind. When I took those stripes, I had you in mind. When they made me take that cross all the way up to Golgotha, you know, up to the skull, you know, the Valley of the Skulls. That's what it's called, Golgotha. That's what the representation of it is. And he had to carry it. But the thing about it, he couldn't even make it up there. They had beat our Savior so much. His ransom was beaten into him so bad to where he couldn't even carry the cross on his own. There was some man to the side, and they said the centurion soldier said, come help him. So therefore this man helped carry the cross to Calvary for Jesus Christ. You know, so think about it, the ransom that he paid for you was so heavy that he couldn't even carry it all the way. You need to think about that. The things that we carry to God now, where he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father. There's nothing too heavy. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too simple. There's nothing too low. There's nothing that he cannot handle for your life. All you have to do is just give him your issues, give him your woes. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. What do you think my ransom was for? What do you think the beating was for? What do you think the bloodshed was for? It was for you to be able to come to the cross, and not only just come to the cross, he said, come to the cross boldly, that you may obtain mercy when you get there, so you obtain everything that I have for your life. We are to understand the ransom that Jesus Christ gave to us. He didn't have to do it. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, that when he went to pray three times, his dudes that were supposed to stay awake, they were sleeping every time. They couldn't stay awake, but yet and still the Father prayed to where the Bible says blood, like drops of blood, was coming forth off of his forehead. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I understand now, because when they put the crown of thorns on his head, what came out of his head when the crown of thorns went into his skull? Pipes of blood. So kind of like he was foretelling what was getting ready to happen to him. You understand what I'm saying? The pops of blood that he was down there praying about. He was back there praying about, oh, Lord, I don't want to go through this. And that's how you knew God was, Jesus was 100% man and 100% human, because he got down there and he wasn't talking to nobody but his Father. He's saying, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But then the angel came down and he just kind of infused him with strength, and he said, okay, not my will, but your will be done. So what he did, he put up on his big boy pants, you know, and he said, let's go. And that's what we have to do. Put on your shirt, put on your pants, put on your hat, and be infused with the power of the Holy Ghost. Be infused with the power of God, to where no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what comes around you, no matter what somebody says, you may not like it. You may not like what somebody says to you. You may not like how they do you on your job. You may not like how they do you in your family. You may not like how you do anything. But one thing that you must consider and you must have faith in is that Jesus Christ, if he could handle it, he says, then we can handle it. And we handle it as good soldiers. We don't handle it as complaining. We don't handle it as murmuring. Because this man never said a murmuring word. This man, every beat, every whip that he took, never said a mumbling word. Because when the things went in his back and his side, flesh came pulling out on top of the metals that they were placing in this man's body. The ransom was so deep. We're coming on Easter next month. Start thinking about, what was my ransom? Jesus, you paid something for me. Who am I not to give myself to you completely? Completely and fully. The ransom. He paid a hefty ransom for me. He's paid a hefty ransom for you. The ransom is still flowing from Calvary. Until the pearly gates close up behind every last one of us, it's going to continue flowing from Calvary. What we have to do is move to the flowing of the blood. And when we move into the flowing of the blood, then we know that we're right where God wants us to be in every part of our lives. Just got a couple of minutes. Does anybody have anything to say or anything they want to add? More than welcome to. He just gave me a little bit to give you all. I praise God for it. But what I was just so in awe of him saying he was the only king that ever chose to bleed. He was the only one that said, send me. I'll go, Dad. I'll go down and redeem him. Because I know can't nobody do it but me. Because I ain't got no sin. So this day, and as Easter is approaching, think about the ransom Jesus paid for us. Think about the blood that was shed on Calvary for me, for you, for your children, for your grandkids. The precious blood of Jesus, it was a ransom. No other kind of ransom. could anybody had paid but Jesus Christ. Amen. It's 11:14. I'm going to go ahead, and if anybody has anything to say or any comments, amen. Amen, Pastor. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. But it's about keeping your eyes focused on the prize. Because once we take our eyes off the prize, we're going to fall like Peter did in the water. He would have walked all the way to Jesus, but he started looking around at his circumstances. That's what we do sometimes. We look around at our circumstances. We look around at the people who are around us. We look around at our yes men and our yes women, when we're supposed to be looking to the one who will give us the correct yes for our life. Amen. Anybody else have anything to say? Amen. Amen. We're going to close with prayer. Lord, I thank you for your ransom. I thank you, Lord God, that you allowed your son to come down and be a ransom for each and every one of us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary for each one of us, for the remission of our sins. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for each and everything that you're doing in each and every one of our lives individually, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I ask you to continue blessing this service, bless the praise and worship, Lord God, bless the preached word, Lord God, bless each and everything that you allow to stand behind this desk, Lord God. Let it be fruit and nourishment to you, Lord God. Nothing of us, Lord God, but let it be all unto you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.